Text coming through. Rafa matches are unwatchable. Dennis was absolutely correct in the leeway offered to Nadal when compared to other players. So you think this guy gets fined, but Kyrgios gets nothing for swearing. Where's the balance, boys?
Well, no, I think he'll get fined.
Yeah, I think he should. I think there's a difference between accusing the governing body as being corrupt versus uttering an expletive after a post-match
There is,
game.
But I'd fine them both.
All right, well, Brett Phillips is here, and he's here thanks to the super fast-charging all-electric Kia EV6. BP, it's all happening. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, plenty going on, guys. I just sort of jumped in the little tail end there of your conversation, but yeah, no doubt there's a couple of fair talking points this morning.
Yeah, well, let's start there. We'll get to Ash Barty, of course, but let's start with Denis Shapovalov's comments and his accusations of, I guess, the umpire being corrupt or the governing body being corrupt, BP. What sort of sanction can he expect for that?
Yeah, look, if Dennis had his time back, Kane, he mightn't have used those words. I mean, as we know, live sport, in the heat of the battle, you guys know it far better than I, that, yeah, there's some things you say at the time. But he's only echoing what all the players have thought for a very, very long time. And I've talked about this on radio across the years. I've had my own say on it. And I love Rafael Nadal. I respect him. You know, he's been an incredible athlete to watch up close, the way he conducts himself. But he bends every rule in the book, and he's been doing it for years, and they've never got on top of it, the officials. So, you know, why have a serve clock that sits there right in front of you that counts down from 25 seconds if the chair umpire is not going to enforce the exact time and penalise him? Why have a minute and a half sit down? The umpire calls time, which means you are up ready to receive the serve as soon as the server is at the service line. And Rafa will sit there for another 20, 30 seconds sometimes and bend that rule. And the chair umpires now are just resigned to actually letting it go. It's almost like everyone's got together and said, look, hey, listen, we can't enforce these rules totally with Rafa. He's never going to change. This might be after he departs the sport. Time off court, you know, extending that. I mean, that is, look, it's part of all the Nadal rituals that he goes through. We've been used to it for years. But, you know, it does slow everything down. And I think, you know, some players have probably thought, oh, maybe I can't say anything because, you know, he's such a legend of the sport. But I think there's some there who are going, no, come on. We should be playing at the same pace every match. Why does the pace of everything slow down when you play Rafael Nadal?
Well, Dennis didn't hold back yesterday. Perhaps why hasn't there been a journalist or, I mean, wasn't the shot clock brought in just because of Rafa to try and solve this problem? Why hasn't anyone challenged the authorities on this?
Well, it's a good point. And, you know, the chair umpires need to be, you know, really consistent across the board. But, I mean, we see this in AFL footy, don't we? I mean, it's up to interpretation on the day, and everyone will go about it slightly different. Some players, some umpires absolutely go by the letter of the rule book. Others are a little bit more lenient. You know, they have a feel for the match on the day and then adopt whatever they need to make sure the game goes at, you know, is conducted in the right way. So that needs some consistency. But, yeah, there's a few things. Look, we've been saying it for quite a while. There's some things in tennis that need to be tightened up.
BP, I just want to ask you one last question about Rafa in this situation. Is the general consensus that he bends these rules deliberately, or it's just to suit his mannerisms and the way he plays the game? Not that it really matters, but is it a deliberate thing from him, or is it just the way he goes about it?
Well, it could be. I mean, we'll never maybe totally know, you know, Josh, because Rafa's got such a great reputation. But I'll just give you an example. So when the players get called to the match call area, which is just outside the locker room there, so there's the ATP supervisor who'll be there with Craig Tiley to give them the nod to begin their walk to go on court. So they have to be at that match call area at a particular time. Do you know what happens every time Rafael Nadal comes to that match call area? He suddenly needs to go to the toilet. And he ducks off for another 2 minutes while his fellow competitor standing there waiting. Yeah. He makes him wait for another 2 or 3 minutes, but no one's prepared to pull him up. So is there a bit of gamesmanship?
I mean, you could strongly argue there is. Sounds like it. All right, we'll park that conversation for another day because it doesn't sound like we'll get to the bottom of it. Let's talk about Aussie Ash Barty, because she went boom last night, 6-2, 6-love. Poor old Buffalo Bills, they suffered a loss in the NFL, and then the daughter of got swept off the court. But Ash Barty, she's in rare form. The only question I've got for you, and this is really being picky, does Ash need a really hard, tough match to harden herself so that she's ready for perhaps one in a semi or a final, or are we happy just to go bang, bang all the way through?
Well, I mean, you can only control the opponent that's on the other side. That's the matchup. You go to work, you get the job done. And as long as you're controlling your side of the court, I mean, you know, matches will ebb and flow. And yes, you don't always have things on your own terms, but she's had everything on her own terms. It's just been brilliant. So I think it's the evolution of Barty in the last 12 months. She's absolutely minimised, some of the errors that maybe used to creep in. So she's just got on top of areas, and she's always, talked about, fine-tuning all the time. I mean, she's got the foundation there. The base is so damn good. And then it's just tinkering, fine-tuning, trying to, minimise the errors. So I think you're playing who you play, and right now she's just proving, too good. Every part of the court covered. I mean, Pegula was trying to get in last night, but she's not a natural sort of front court player. I think she won 3 of 12 net points, and Ash just finds, that little angle, the dipping sort of return, the little dinky off-pace shot cross court that draws an error. And her serving numbers, once again, last night were rock solid. So, no, I think she's just in complete control of her game, and here's the challenge to try and unsettle her.
She'll play Madison Keys, the American, on Thursday in the semi-final, BP. She's unseeded. Does she pose any sort of threat? I mean, what would be worrying Ash in her camp?
Yeah, well, Madison's been an accomplished player. Just had a tough last 12 months. That's where the ranking dipped out to about 51. But she's been top 10. She's been to the final of the US Open. She's been to the semis of Wimbledon. I think quarters of the French. And here she is in a semi here. So she's been to the business end of all the majors. Because she is a pure ball striker, it's very, very good to watch. I mean, yesterday against Krejcikova, who is similar to Barty, she was just able to rip the ball through the court. But they actually played at the French Open when Barty won 2019. They played in a quarterfinal, yes, different surface. And Madison didn't like playing Ash that particular day, because Ash is, just sending all these different types of balls outside of the hitting zone. So that's how you unsettle Madison Keys, and that's where the errors can come. But yeah, look, if she has a day at Keys, she could certainly put Barty on the back foot potentially.
Big day on Rod Laver today. Quarterfinals continue. We'll start with Sinner and Tsitsipas this afternoon from about 3:30. Take us through what's on offer today.
Yeah, that's going to be a beauty. How they've both recovered will be really interesting. Hard not to like the game of Jannik Sinner. Maybe this is his moment to really step up. 20 years of age. I mean, we still think, there's another year of development to get to semis and finals of Grand Slams. But there's an opening for him today. But I think the all-court game of Tsitsipas, and having been on that biggest stage, might just give him the nod. But, yeah, Sinner, the way he constructs points is absolutely beautiful. The women's matches today, well, I'll tell you what, Cornet and Collins, that potentially could go 5 hours today. they both won epics, as we know, what, that 2.5 hour, 3 hour mark a couple of days ago. And there'll be some hard fought points. There'll be some emotion. There'll be a lot of exertion being displayed from both. I mean, she fist pumps like no other, Danielle Collins, and Cornet is one of the most emotional players. And then Świątek Kanepi. Kaya Kanepi, gee, she's taken all before her, the 36-year-old. I mean, she could dismantle Świątek. So I'll give her a little bit of a chance. And Medvedev, Auger, Aliassime will be a great match. Rematch of the US Open semi tonight. And I think Felix will get a hell of a lot closer than he did in that US Open final. But I'm still going to give the nod to Daniil as the man to beat in this tournament.
You like the Canadian, though, don't you? You were all over him before the tournament.
Yeah, I think he and Shapovalov, they've got a very bright future. I mean, they're going to be, competing for majors for the next 5 years. Felix is different, not as flamboyant, a bit more methodical, but he generates some great power, technically just, beautiful to watch. And I think Tony Nadal's not here this year, hasn't made the trip out to Australia, but he's been added to the camp to bring that sort of big-time game experience. I think he'll push Medvedev tonight, but it's hard to go past the Russian right now.
BP, recently crowned Australian of the Year, Dylan Alcott plays in the final today. Do we know what time he faces number two, Sam Schroeder? Do we know what time? Just having trouble
tomorrow.
Trying to find. It's tomorrow. Sorry, it is true. Yep. What do we do? Do we have a time set for that? Because I'm having a look here. I can't find what time.
No, they won't release. Yeah, they won't release the schedule till a bit later today. But we do know it'll be on Rod Laver during the day tomorrow. So that, which is great for Dylan to be able to play his final ever match on RLA. During a day session with the two women's semis pushed to Thursday night. That's opened up the window for him to play that final there, which will be fantastic. And yeah, much easier win yesterday. Hopefully, he gets the fairy tale finish that he's after.
Indeed.
What's the word behind the scenes about the doubles, BP? Well, what are people saying behind closed doors?
It depends who you talk to. Anytime you can put doubles in a bigger spotlight, I think personally is great for tennis. And doubles has always been the forgotten. I think the slams have got to get better at putting the doubles as the entree, if you like, not the afterthought, particularly at the business end of tournaments. The electricity of the crowd for Kyrgios and Kokkinakis, it's fantastic to have that, you know, that crowd that is at absolute fever pitch. But I'm all for tennis etiquette, I've got to say. And I think there has to be some respect for the other two guys at the other end of the court. Number one, from the crowd, but also, you know, certainly Kyrgios and Kokkinakis played a bit of a part yesterday to incite that crowd and whip them into a frenzy where they just throw etiquette out the door and can't actually have any focus on the other two players at the other end of the court. I don't know. You know where I sit on. Yeah, Nick, I mean, it's, you know, I don't know why, Kane. I can only call this. I don't know why you have to step up to a microphone and use expletives to a crowd. Yeah, that's just pretty ordinary for me. But and Panassi, I think, he's a great young guy. And yeah, I don't know. Sometimes I think he gets sort of reeled into all of that, to be honest.
Good on you, BP. Thanks for the update. Yep. As always, doing a magnificent job. The super fast charging all-electric Kia EV6. It's as silent as the critics. Find out more at kia.com.au.